As we come and just kind of close and bring all this together this morning, I want to say this about the truth. If you've been involved in the Truth Project, this is a very special topic to your mind and to your heart as God is speaking to you. But this morning, we need to bring this all together as we're gathered here this morning. You see, Jesus came to declare the truth. And now a lot of people argue and try to decide exactly what is the truth. Let's define that. Let's put meaning to that. And there are all sorts of ideals out there. But as Jesus stood before Pilate, as he had been arrested, as he stood there before Pilate, he declared to Pilate that he came in, the purpose of coming into the world was to declare the truth and to bear witness to the truth, which is exactly what Jesus did. But Pilate, with a heart of contempt, asked this question of our Lord. He says, "What is truth?" You know, who knows what the truth is? Who cares what the truth is? I'm just out here living my life. I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. And that's what my life is about. But today, this very morning, we have heard the truth in song. We've heard it in the narration that's been given. We've witnessed the truth of God in the observance of the Lord's Supper and the communion that we've taken. And everyone who hears the truth must deal with that truth. For you see, there are different responses that people may have and come when it comes to the truth. People may receive the truth. If you have not already received the truth and received Christ, and that's real to you, you must receive the truth into your heart and into your life. There are those that reject the truth. "Well, I don't know if I can believe all that." Or the famous saying is, "Well, I have my own belief. I have my own way." You see, that's the breaking of the second commandment. You shall not make unto yourself any graven image. God never allowed us to make our own way to Him, for He has made the way to us, and that's the truth. So people reject the truth, and they do that in various ways. But then there's another part. If you have received Christ, there is another step. As Bob shared last Sunday morning, there's another level of our Christian faith, and that is we are to embrace the truth. What is it to think the truth in our mind and accept its fact and accept all the things about it, and then it doesn't show out any reality in a person's heart or in a person's life? Well, that truth then is not real. It's not fulfilled. But for you and me, we must embrace the truth where it is real to us and into our lives. Now, I want to make an amazing statement, but please follow with me. The evidence of truth. The evidence that the Bible, all the Word of God is truth, one of the evidences of it is death. You say, "What is that? What does that mean? What do you mean by that?" You see, the truth is that we all shall die. That was not God's original intent, but that we might live. And we might know Him, we might worship Him, we might glorify Him. But then sin entered into the picture, as we've declared this morning in the message here. But the evidence that the truth of God, the truth of the Bible is real and it's accurate, is that we die. The truth about death is that most people don't understand death. Most people don't realize. They think death comes because of someone had an illness, or because someone finally lived out to a good old age, or for some other cause, or for some other reason in the world, people came to the end of their life. But the truth is, the wages of sin is death. That's the truth. And the result is that if you die in your sins, you will go into eternity and live out an eternal death, separated from God in judgment in a place called everlasting fire called hell. But you see, there is another result that is out there, and we so aptly declared it today in this place. If you in this life are forgiven of your sins, then you have, through Jesus Christ, attained unto eternal life. Eternal life doesn't mean you become a Christian, you get saved, so to speak, and then you just go on and live life and you don't ever die. That's not what that means. It means that when we come to the end of our life in this world, our place in history and our time in history, when we come to the place of death, we go into the presence of God. If we have gained eternal life through Jesus Christ, then we have the promise of eternity with God, not separated from Him, but in His very presence. So we ask the question this morning, why did Jesus come? He came to bear witness to the truth. He came to die for sinners, all are sinners, for all will die. The law of creation says, the soul that sins, it shall die. And that's the body of truth there, and death is the result of sin. But God's grace is to forgive. God's grace is to compel lost people, men and women, young people, children everywhere, to come to the truth. You see, coming to the truth isn't about getting saved, getting my sins all taken, so I'll just go to heaven when I die. I mean, that's the result, that's for sure. But Christian, the life of a Christian is so much more than that. For if we embrace Christ with our life, then it changes and transforms us while we walk in this world, while we live in this life. We can obey God, we can obey the gospel by coming to God in repentance and in faith in Jesus Christ, by submission and surrender. For you see, just accepting the facts but refusing or failing or neglecting to submit to Jesus Christ is failure in faith. So the evidence that everything in the Bible is true is death, because God declared it. And Christ, being God in the flesh, experienced. Well, the work of Christ, let's look at that for just a moment as we come. Says, He came to be a substitute for us. He died as a substitute for you and me, as we've so declared again and again this morning. So He died for us there on the cross, and they put His body, laid His body in the tomb. And on the third day, guess what happened? Well, we all know. That's why we're here. He rose again from the dead. He came back to life. Jesus Christ was dead, and He came back to life. He didn't just swoon. He didn't just faint for a while. He died. We all know people who have died. We have all have loved ones who have died, and they are still dead. Jesus was dead. But He lives again. And why did He rise again? To prove that everything He said was true. Also to provide the forgiveness of sins for all those who will come to the truth and who will receive the truth, who will accept the truth, and who will turn to God through Christ, through the truth. And then He came to procure your personal salvation. I want to read a quote to you this morning. This writer says, an early Christian would say in greeting another person, "He is risen." And those who greeted, those He greeted would answer this, "He is risen indeed." That's how they greeted one another as Christians. Yes, Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of the living God, God made flesh, who died for our sins and did not stay dead, but arose from the dead on the third day according to the Scriptures, He is alive today after the power, or according to the power of an endless life. The cross was what a man thought of Jesus. The resurrection was what God thought of Him. His death provided a permanent cure for sin. His resurrection provided a permanent cure for death. An announcement in a school magazine contained this humorous error. I guess it's a true thing. It says, "We welcome news from alumni, particularly those who have died." Someone just didn't think that one through. Well, the gospel is good news from a graveyard. Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He was buried and rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and was seen by above 500 people at one time. And the Scripture says, and this is the one miracle that can be verified by one particular experience. The resurrection of Jesus Christ can be verified and validated in your life by the personal experience of the forgiveness of your sins by coming to God and by coming to Christ through repentance and through faith. One other quote here in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 26. The Bible just simply says this: "The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death." The last enemy that you and I have is death. I'm going to say two things about it and then I'm finished. First of all, enemy is a foe. It's an enemy. Death is an enemy, but also death is a friend. Let me explain these two things and we'll close this morning. First of all, the last enemy is that of death. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27, "It is appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment." There is something after death. The world denies it. We see it everywhere. It's all over the place. It's in our movies, in our school curriculum. It's in our society, and it's in our culture everywhere. We don't know if there's anything out there. Live for the moment, the world says. But you see, everyone must die. And it's appointed unto man once to die, but after that, the judgment. So death originated in this world by sin. And when sin is finished, it brings forth death. So it is. Death is our enemy. But lastly, death is our friend. You say, that's a crazy thing to say. Listen, death brings a warning. Every time we may come close to death ourselves, or think we have, or any time we lose a loved one, that is an eternal warning that there is something beyond this life. There is something out there that we must give an account to. Death is a friend because it gives us a warning. But the last one is, for the Christian, death will usher us in to the presence of God. The Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. I want us to bow our heads and to close our eyes as we come this morning to think upon the things that we've heard. And I want to ask you this morning, have you received the truth? Do you know God? Have you been converted? Or have you been born again? And if you can wholeheartedly say yes, then I have this second question for us. Not just for you, but for us, me included. Have you embraced Christ with your whole heart and with your whole life? Or is God only a portion or part of what you do in this world, in this life as a professing Christian? And secondly, this morning, if you have not received the truth of God, and you have not been converted, you have not been born of the Spirit of God, then this morning, God has brought you to this place to remind you that He loves you and that He desires you and He wants you, but it's your whole heart. You've got to come to Him with your whole heart, not just to come to repeat a prayer or to make a statement or to make a decision. But it's about you coming to terms with your lostness. It's about coming to the reality that you are made by God and that you are a sinner in His sight. And if you die in your sins, you will be cast forever away from God out into an endless eternity. But God desires that you would come. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to Him. And so God is compelling you this morning. If you're here today, if you're one of those here today that do not know, then God is compelling you. He's calling to you. He's asking you to come. He's asking you this morning to come to Him in repentance and in surrender. Repentance of your sins, because God is righteous, God is holy, and He must punish all sin. He pours out His wrath upon sin. But here this morning, God's calling you that you might come and turn from your sin. But at the same time, that you would come and submit yourself to Jesus Christ, because He's God made flesh, who suffered and died on the cross, was laid in a tomb, and rose again the third day in victory, so that you might know the forgiveness of sin, that you might have the gift of eternal life. God is compelling you this morning. Do not walk out of this building without coming to God through Jesus Christ. In a few moments, we'll stand. We'll have a hymn of invitation. And God is asking you to give Him your heart and your life. God is asking you to surrender yourself to Him. God is asking you to submit yourself. And so you come this morning. You come, and when we stand and we sing, I'm going to be down at the front, but you come today. If God is compelling you and bidding you, then you come this morning.